We'll have a moment of silence. Does everyone accept the agenda?
Yes.
No objections? Any announcements? Jenny?
Good evening, everybody. This is Jenny Brantley speaking to you on behalf of the Morro Bay Fundraiser Follies. Broadway by the Bay will be happening on Friday night, February 26th, and Saturday, February 27th. The show starts at 7 p.m. both nights, same show both nights, at the Morro Bay Community Center. Tickets are $10 each, and they can be available through me or through various vendors. The Dry Cleaners has them and other places. But please come to the Broadway by the Bay. It's a review of Broadway musical show tunes sung by various community members, having a great time. 7 p.m. Tickets are $10 each. Hope to see you there. That's all.
Thank you. Anyone else? No? All right. Then do we have any written communications? We have one here from the Morro Bay Citizens Bike Committee. Everyone have a copy? Any other? Any public comment? Then the consent calendar, we have the approval of the minutes of January 20th. Do I hear any, or do we have any corrections, or do I, if not, I will accept a motion for acceptance.
I move they be approved.
A second?
I second it.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Takes care of that. And we have the director's report. Rob?
Sure. For the design of the wastewater treatment plant. On the North Main bike lanes, continuing to work with Caltrans and refining our plans and specs. And then a company called Precision Concrete Cutting completed leveling sidewalks through the downtown and some outlying areas. On Saturday, they finished that work. And I think that's it for highlights. And I'm happy to try to answer questions on some of the other items.
I've got a question on the sidewalk leveling. So it looks like, I think I saw in here, anything between a half inch and 3 inch sidewalk irregularity.
Yes.
Leveled out. So what happens next? I mean, and what was that process? How do they level it out?
They have a horizontal saw blade, basically a dry diamond blade with a vacuum attached to it, and they chamfer cut those lips in the sidewalk, and they meet 8.33% their cut is, so that meets the maximum slope for an ADA ramp. So it's a very gradual slope for those cuts. They actually hit a lot of them that were smaller than half an inch, but half an inch was our kind of our minimum threshold for a trip hazard. Anything over 3 inches, you lose sidewalk integrity. So you only have an inch of sidewalk left, basically, thickness. So we didn't have them do those. We'll go around and reevaluate those locations. Some of them are outside of the walking area. They're right next to the curb where the tree is pushed up. Tree roots have pushed up the sidewalk. Probably just remove those panels of sidewalk. This doesn't solve the problem of sidewalk lifting. It buys time, and it's less costly than sidewalk replacement.
So basically it's grinding it down so it's a more level surface.
Correct. But it's a lot smoother than the conventional grinding. conventional grinding kind of pulverizes the surface.
It still doesn't lose any integrity then.
Exactly, exactly. Some areas, if you, for example, on a driveway approach, you wouldn't want to take it down to 2 inches of sidewalk because you're driving over it. Mm-hmm. But 2 inches of sidewalk would be the maximum thickness that we would want to grind or cut off of there.
Thank you.
Rob, I saw on the future agenda items, I think this goes under street sidewalks, future agenda items talking about pavement management plan. Can you give us an update on various? I want to talk specifically about Bonita on North Morro Bay side of town, but can you give us an update on what's going to be happening with streets here soon?
The pavement management plan is more of a strategy. What it does is lays out, last summer and through the fall, we completed a field survey of all the city streets assessing pavement condition. And there's a acronym PCI, Pavement Condition Index, and it goes from 0 to 100. Anything below about 60 is considered poor pavement condition. Below 30 is failed pavement condition. We have a couple of streets in that lower range. One would be Panorama. I don't know if anybody's driven Panorama, but that's in fairly poor. And another P Street, Ponderosa, is in very poor conditions. Both those streets were not actually, along with most of the streets in North Morro Bay, were never constructed as streets per se. They were county red rock roads with a chip seal, which is oil and rock, put on top of that red rock base. And then probably in the 80s, they had an overlay over the top of that. So a typical modern road section would be you would dig out 6 to 8 inches of, this is on a residential street, 6 to 8 inches of class 2 base with 2 to 4 inches of asphalt on top of that, depending on what the underlying soil is like. So we're lucky in the south part of Morro Bay that we're on top of sand, so the underlying soil is a lot more forgiving than the clays in the north end of town that have really disrupted the streets. Clays hold a lot of water. Streets have gone beyond preserving, and they need to be repaired or replaced. Repair and replacement is at the highest end of those costs, where it might cost, you know, cents per square foot for slurry sealing, chip sealing. You're talking $8 to $10 a square foot, or about probably in the neighborhood of $400,000 a mile for on average to repair all the streets in Morro Bay. We have 53 road miles of street. That's somewhere up around $20 million, I think, to repair the streets. Our street budget without Measure Q is for paving is around, typically around $100,000 a year. With Measure Q, it's about $250,000 a year. That still doesn't buy a whole lot of streets. What we've been doing now is doing some smaller projects and accumulating some Measure Q funds so that we can let a contract, hopefully next summer, go to do a larger project. And I imagine Bonita would be one of those streets. Avalon would probably be another one of those streets. With our gas tax money, we're kind of limited. The federal gas tax dollars are meant to be spent on federal aid. I can't remember what the U stands for. They're federally designated arterials and collector streets. We have an awful lot of those in town, but some of the smaller residential streets aren't so designated as for that monies. But like I said, we have, a really good assessment of the streets, and we'll be coming to this board and then to City Council to establish a policy on replacement. We'll be telling you, if you budget this amount, you get this much street repairs. So I don't think the city has done this in a while, and it'll give a clear picture of what we'll be getting for those street dollars.
That was a lot of information, Rob, and I've never heard a lot of it. That was really informative. Thank you. And what was that acronym? P what? Index? Pavement?
PCI, Pavement Condition Index.
Pavement Condition Index. All right.
And also, was there a term you used for the oil and chip seal?
Chip seal would be a swept it. You go over what's called a cape seal, which is another seal coat on top of that chip. Because what happens is that chip works its way loose. And I know I've had to replace a few windshields when Caltrans used to do that on the highways. And chip seal at highway speeds can cause a few claims for windshield repairs.
So is the idea of the chip seal is that you wait till cars drive over it and kind of pack the rocks into the oil base? Is that the idea? And
yeah, a little.
Then you sweep up
the loose material. And now the technique is after you've swept that loose material up, you go over it with another seal coat to kind of lock that rock into place.
So that's what you're talking about when you talk about chip seal.
Chip seal with a cape seal on top of it. That would be that method. What we did at Morro Bay Boulevard this summer was a fairly conventional overlay. We overlaid the street with 2 inches of hot mix asphalt. So we ran a grinder down Morro Bay Boulevard, ground the edges down so you don't have a lip there where you're at the gutter line. Ground the edges down 2 inches, and then overlaid the street with 2 inches of hot mix asphalt, which rebuilds that structural section. Before we did that, there were a few repair areas that we had base failures. The underlying pavement was not in good condition. One of them was in a trench line, probably inadequate compaction. Caused the trench to fail, so we dug that out first, repaired that section, and then we paved over the top of it.
That was the one by Bank of America?
Yes. And there was one up by Shasta and Shasta and Morro Bay Boulevard, a trench failure there.
I have a question, Rob, about, and I don't know how you can if you can speak to this, because this is Dylan's section, about the Chorro Valley. Understanding that the water issues out in the Chorro Valley, it says that the citizens that live out there, they're going to have to start to do for themselves for water. What are they facing? Or if their wells are contaminated and we can't get them water out there, what do you know anything about that?
I know that the city council acted on this issue a few weeks ago.
I've got a question about that issue, too. It says here in our report, with both the groundwater nitrate contamination, which I'm familiar with that subject, and the requirements of the groundwater rule, continuing to provide water to customers outside the city limits has become untenable. So I've never heard of the groundwater rule before.
I think what Dylan's referring here is groundwater that's under the influence of surface water. When you provide water to municipal water to a population, there's usually two sources, groundwater or surface water. Groundwater, typically, you're relying upon the natural filtration of that aquifer to basically treat that water. You pump it out, add chlorine, and you pump it directly into the distribution system. You may have some other supplementary treatment, nitrate removal or arsenic removal, not in our cases. Surface water treatment has a higher potential for contamination. That's our state water. Our state water water is surface water. It goes through a water treatment plant that they add a coagulant, allows any solid particles in water to coalesce and larger particles are established. Those settle out to the bottom in a clarifier. That water spills over the edge of a clarifier, goes through sand filtration, and is pumped into a distribution system. So it's a higher level of treatment for surface water is required. The Department of Health has established, they recognize that wells close to surface water bodies, you're really pumping that surface water. You're not pumping groundwater. So if your well is too close to a creek, stream, river, you're not pumping groundwater. You're pumping that surface water. So they, in effect, require that same surface water treatment. And I can't remember what that distance is that your wells need to be away from that surface water body.
So were they treating that water originally as if it were groundwater?
Groundwater.
And now they're realizing actually it's more like surface water, and so it really does need further treatment?
That's correct. So. And the surface water, the groundwater under the influence.
How does that translate? What does that mean to average people like us?
What that probably means is we'll have to go back on more restrictive water conservation measures. If the delivery options, delivery estimates stay at that 5%. We don't believe that they will because of the high levels of snow that we've been receiving in the Sierras. So the state updates their delivery, I think, on a quarterly basis. So we'll find out soon if that, they always start out low. They never want to cut back on the rest. They don't want to say we're going to give you 100%, and then you get closer to summer and say, sorry, it's only 5%. They'd rather, as we all would, look like the heroes in providing that additional water.
Thank you.
I had another question, Rob. Speaking to what Susan's talking about and the capacity of our desal plant, if state waters do project, and I mean it's 5% now, but if I mean we go up to 25%, are we producing at capacity for the desal plant right now, and is it possible to go higher? Do we know?
I don't think we're producing at capacity right now. We need to do some electrical upgrades and some pumping upgrades to deliver the. They made some improvements to the desal plant itself. Now they need to be able to get that into the distribution system. So there's some electrical upgrades that are required and some pumping upgrades that are currently underway.
That's underway, so we're looking to, that's an ongoing thing?
Yeah, I don't know what the schedule is for that.
That water is much more expensive, though, than state water, correct?
Yes.
And would that be those rates if we had to continue to use more supplementary desal water? If state water isn't provided, would that be reflected eventually in our water rates?
That could be reflected in the water rates also prolonged conservation also affects the water rates because we have a fixed costs that we have to pay no matter what, even for state water, whether they're delivering state water or not, we still pay a fixed cost. And as people are consuming less, shut off, the spring-loaded hose end shut off. But what is restricted is the hosing down of hard surfaces, sidewalks, that sort, unless it's a health and safety issue. You're allowed to clean up with water for that. I can't remember all the details of that. It is available on the city's website, water conservation, and at the public services office. People can call 772-6261 and get more information on our water conservation measures, or go to the city's website at www.morrow-bay.ca.us and look under water public services and then water for that information.
The detail I was in particular wondering about is, I know at one point we were not supposed to water more than twice a week. It depended on what side of the street you're on, your address number, even or odd. I believe it was Tuesdays and Saturdays for odd addresses. Are we still at that type of restriction?
No, we're not at that type of restriction.
Okay. So irrigation, as far as you know, is not necessarily
is not restricted,
limited.
But we still don't want waste of water, over-irrigating and seeing that water run off the site.
Do you know what that level of conservation is called? Is there a term for that?
I believe it's severe.
And we're at moderate
and then
now.
We're in moderate, uh-huh. And I think there's one more critical. I'd have to review that.
Okay. Thank you.
Bill, given the last, since we haven't had a PWAB meeting in 2 months and the storms and whatnot, did we have any issues with trees and or stormwater issues?
Trees, we had one tree go down, which was a private tree. It fell between from a property on Bradley onto, I think it was Alta Court, hit a house on Alta Court. There were miscellaneous branches down, a large branch on a tree in Piney went down. We did remove 5 trees just recently that were problem trees, one at the corner of Marina and Piney, and then we did some major trimming of trees. In fact, that one at Piney that lost the branch, West Coast Arborist, day before had just done their safety pruning of the tree, and a 10-inch branch cracked that, you know, didn't show any signs of any damage to it, and had to go take care of that. So nothing, no property damage due to trees. You know, we have the usual branches down. Storm damage, I'd mentioned before, or maybe not at this forum, maybe it was one of the other meetings that I went to. South Bay Boulevard was flooded a few weeks ago. We had water running over to this the street there, but it was south of the bridge, not a typical spot that we're used to seeing water come over the road. At the bridge itself, the water surface elevation was approximately 4 feet below the bottom lowest member of the bridge. What we think was happening, where we're getting flooding there, was due to the high tides and the coincidence of the high runoff was causing that little channel to back up and cross over the bridge. I know there was, when I was out there helping do some traffic control, there was one vehicle accident, and it was basically due to excessive speed. We had flooding signs up, slow signs up, and the person realized that a little bit too late and hit their brakes and skidded off the road and ended up, they were on the east side of the road, so they went into the water, but they didn't go as deep as they could have gone if they would have gone off the west side of the road. When that happens, we put out flooding signs, try to slow the traffic down. Police and public services crews are out there. During the worst of it, we were rotating a caravan through there, trying to slow people down.
Rob, I remember when we had the heaviest of rains and the highest of tides together, when the old Twin Bridges was there, and they went along and marked where that high water line was, and they said that the way the road is built now, it was never supposed to flood again because it was supposed to be above that worst of the worst. And none of those willow trees used to be as thick as they are now. So is there any way, I know it's probably a horrendous ordeal with fish and game, to go in there and thin all that out again? Or, I don't know.
My predecessor had worked with the Army Corps trying to get a permit to get in there and clean out willows and some of the sediment excuse me, when that Twin Bridges was built, Frank Cunningham, who was a former city engineer, was something over 6 foot tall. He said the bottom of the bridge, when he walked under there, was probably another 6 feet above his head. The last time he walked through there, he had to bend over to get under the bridge there. I'm not sure what event that bridge and road was designed for. I know the approaches are actually a little bit lower than the bridge on either side of it, so that's where the water does tend to go across. But we'll continue to try to work with the Army Corps to get in there and clean out the bridge. There was some thought of trying to get in there while it was raining and the road was flooding under an emergency situation and clean out as much as we could, except that we couldn't get equipment actually in there. We would have to work from the bridge, and we couldn't reach far enough to really do any real work. We could have dug a hole under the bridge, basically, that would have filled back in. And we could have spent a lot of money for nothing, really.
I've got another question on state water again. I was looking back on the different types of water that we use in the city for last year's total. It's broken down by state water, groundwater, and desal water. And then I was comparing it to January of this year's use of water, just out of curiosity. And what I noticed was that on the average last year, 3/4 of our water came from state water and about 1/4 came from groundwater. And then, but this January, we only about less than 1/3 came from state water, 1/3 came from groundwater, and then 1/3's brackish treated water. So I thought that was kind of interesting that obviously we are getting a lot less state water, so we're having to make up for it with the desal and the groundwater. And my question was, is desal water and the brackish treated water, is that basically the same thing? That those categories, I think, were used interchangeably here, but to me desal means salt water. Brackish is not salt water necessarily, so, or it's a mixture of salt and fresh.
At the desal plant, there's a couple of treatment trains there. One is designed, it takes more energy to run seawater through the reverse osmosis filters than it does brackish water, because there's more dissolved solids in the seawater than there is in the brackish water. So that's real. It's both are running through their reverse osmosis or desalinization process. The source water has a lower salinity for the brackish water than it does for the desal water. Another reason that we had lower state water deliveries in January was a couple of emergency repairs that the state had to make to their delivery system. So they called us within, you know, several hours and said, we're shutting it down, mm-hmm. and to use your other water supplies. So there were a couple of instances that they had to make repairs, and that's why the January deliveries typically aren't that low for state water, and really wouldn't have been lower this year for state water except for those repairs that had to be made.
Oh, so it would have been probably closer to the average?
Closer to the average.
It wasn't so much that 5%.
No, it was more of a facilities problem with the pipeline that they needed to make those repairs and shut it down to facilitate those repairs.
They must have shut those down for quite a while then.
Yes.
It
took several days or a week to make those repairs.
So even though they're saying they're only guaranteeing 5% state water delivery right now, we actually, if it weren't for those particular situations, our delivery would be pretty
close
to normal.
Could be higher, yes, because we have the drought buffer that protects us from those lower deliveries.
Okay, thank you,
Rob. Has anybody thought about possibly having a contractor come in to do some of our pothole patching? There's a lot of simple potholes that seem to sit around longer than maybe they should, and then the longer they sit, the worse it gets, so it becomes a problem that takes too much time for our two guys to take care of. If there's like sections at a time that could get done or anything.
Yes, we've thought about that idea of contract work. In fact, you know, that's one thing that we've used contract work a few times. What works best, it seems like, is our crews prep the areas and the contractor comes in and paves. We get a much better price for that. We'd like to do that more this next year because we're pretty successful with the work that we did last year with that. So, yes, I think that is one way to stretch our workforce a little bit further, is to work with those contractors.
Everybody satisfied? Okay, we'll go on.
We might have one more.
June, you have one more?
It is now. This is the Dial-A-Ride topic, and I know that's Janine's jurisdiction, but I thought maybe you might know something about this. She's talking here about an audit that's required every 3 years and to evaluate the system performance, and is that just a generic term for to see how overall the system is working? Our public transportation system?
Yes, it's called the triennial audit. It's required by the federal government because we receive federal dollars for our transit system. So they require that audit. They're looking for transit efficiencies, looking how much if our fare box or how much money that we took in, if it met our projections, things like that is what they're looking at through that audit. Make sure that the public's money was spent in accordance with the regulations.
And I see there's notation here about the state possibly taking back some funds that we typically get that helps pay for public transportation. They're talking about this proposal would eliminate all dedicated state support for public transit at a time of high public demand for transit services. It had to do with to eliminate the sales tax on fuel.
Yes.
You know anything about that? I mean, is there a good chance that's going to happen, or is it just one of the million ideas thrown out by the state?
That's one of the ideas that's thrown out by the state, but there is, as we all have read or heard in the news, there is an impending budget gap in the state government. They're going to have to balance that somehow. One of the ideas is to reallocate how the gas tax is collected and distributed back out. And transit has been a favorite target with last year's budget and this year's budget.
So in this case, the proposal was to cut the sales tax on fuel?
Cut the sales tax on fuel and convert that to an excise tax, I believe. I'm not 100% up on that budget balancing technique that the state's going to use.
It sounds
or how
like
it works.
How I read that is that it would eliminate the funds that go to cities now to help offset some of our transportation costs, and the state would keep it.
Yes.
The consumers would get some relief because they'd have a lower tax overall, but then the state would have what taxes left in place the state would keep, and then none of it would be coming to the local level. That's how I understand what I just read here. Does that sound about right?
That sounds what I've read also.
Okay. Is there anything we can do if we want to express an opinion on that?
Talk to your local legislatures, write letters that you feel that transit is important and that they shouldn't be making those cuts.
I think that is very important because I think it allows transportation for many people that don't have the ability to drive or the funding to own a vehicle. And also with the greenhouse gas reduction issue, it significantly reduces greenhouse gases when people use multi person vehicles, as in public transportation. So, thank you. That's it on my soapbox.
Rob, I had a question before we move on. Is the lift station section, collection systems, reading through it and talking about, I know that a couple of them are undergoing being renewed, rebuilt somewhat. With these last storms we've had, how have they fared, and is that all on schedule to be done here in the next few months?
I know that the design consultants submitted plans and specs to the utilities division for their review, so I believe they're on track for replacement. I didn't notice anything with the storms it caused, other than there was a power outage. I think a tree dropped, cut off power to most of the city during the storms. Quintana and South Bay, and they had to move generators out to those lift stations. That was really a majority of the impact.
Everybody finished? How about you, Dick? You didn't have any crack at it. You're satisfied? Ready to go on? Okay. The next item is new business. The first item is to elect a new chairman. So we're open for nominations. Got to hear something here.
I'll nominate Matt for the chairman.
Okay.
Or chairperson.
Matt has been nominated. Any other nominations?
Y'all nominate Matt.
No other nominations. All right. Then we're ready. Yeah. Okay.
Does Matt get a say in this?
I'm fine with it.
Oh, okay.
But what about a vice chair?
That comes next.
Okay.
Then do I hear a motion? I hear a second to close the nominations?
I second that we close the nominations.
Okay, so we all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, now we'll vote. We're voting for one candidate. All in favor?
Aye.
Well, I guess, Matt, you're it. Take it, take over.
All right.
That was hard.
Well, thanks, everybody. I think now we need the next order of business is to elect a vice chair. And so nominations are?
I'd like to nominate June Christoph Jones.
I second it. That was me. I said I second it.
June, are you all right with this? Because I know you and I have talked about it before, so.
Basically, the responsibility of the vice is to fill in when Matt is unavailable. Do you plan to be around most of the year?
I plan to, but
okay.
I mean, I had to, I think, last year a couple times for Bill. So
once.
Okay, once for Bill. So it doesn't happen that often, but.
Are you going away this summer?
Nope, this summer I'll be here.
In that case, sure, I'd be happy to do it.
And so in that case, I think we had a second. And all those in favor of June as vice chair of Public Works?
I think
aye.
First, you had a closed nomination.
Oh, did we? Okay.
We closed nomination.
Well, I would like to say if anybody else is interested, I would be fine with that. No. Okay.
Okay. So nominations. We need a movement to someone to close nominations.
I move that we. Close the nominations.
Nominations are now closed, and so we'll vote. All those in favor of June as vice chair?
Aye.
The vote is unanimous, and June Christoph Jones is vice chair of PWEB.
I would just like to thank Bill for all of his wonderful service and leadership.
And before we move on, Bill probably, he forgot to wear something tonight. But he's got a birthday coming up this Friday. And I tried to say that he was a young 70-year-old guy today, and he said he had shoes older than that. And so, Bill, would you like to tell us, or would you like me to tell everybody what you're going to celebrate this Friday?
We want to know.
Well, I'll be 90.
Wow.
I'm 90 and still functioning.
Yes.
And still smiling.
90. So, to happy birthday to Bill Olson, 90 years young on Friday. Happy birthday, Bill.
Yeah.
We could, I guess. All right, going on from new business to old business, there is none. We have a number of items on future agenda items coming up. And, Rob, are these going to be spread out over the next 3 or 4 months? There it looks like approximately 8.
Yes, we anticipate spreading these out. The ones I'm currently working on, the bike plan update, we have... probably the major remaining item on that is production of the graphics that go in that, and I have a grad student working on that, but he's his hours are somewhat limited with his major focus is finishing school right now, so he'll be working on finishing those graphics, and as soon as those are done, we'll bring that forward. I did want to mention that I heard from Mr. Wade this afternoon, and he would like to add another item to the future agenda items, and perhaps for next month he'd like to bring that, is dealing with lost water and how we rebate those costs. So when there's leaks or with... customers, how they can go about.
And that has to be done next month.
Okay, then we will bring that back next month.
That's next month. I was at that meeting this morning.
I would like to add another item to the future agenda items. I'd like a discussion of the South Bay and Quintana intersection. I know there's a possibility of having a safety meeting, but I also think we should be looking into having a left turn lane coming on South Bay. When you go there, to make a left turn, the traffic has to go out on the shoulder, and we need something, some other thing, to be much safer.
So then, would we say this some sort of update on South Bay intersection?
Yes, South Bay and Quintana intersection.
Okay, and would we ask, would you like to have staff address that issue?
Yes.
I can bring an update also on the Planning Commission heard a project at South Bay and Quintana, the a Black Hill Villa project. There was a updated traffic study for that that talked about that intersection and levels of service there.
Okay. And so there's a number of things, folks, coming in future agenda items. Main and San Jacinto intersection. Jenny, did you want to talk about that next month?
Sure.
All right. Because, Rob, are we looking, is this all next month? Because, I mean, if we do the South Bay, we do Main Street, we do Dillon talking about lost water, how many items would be fair to put on here?
No, these aren't all for our next month. For example, the stormwater management status update, I was planning on bringing after we produce our annual report, so that'd be sometime late spring. Water conservation, I'm not sure when that's going to be coming. These were some of the topics for this upcoming year that we wanted to get on as placeholders on there. I know that Ms. Burlingame would like to bring the transit service plan fairly soon and talk about modifications to our transit system based on discussions with the regional provider and with SLOCOG, and perhaps adding a fixed route transit system. We still have to do our facility tour sometime this spring and hope for some maybe April, May-ish when we have some, when it's lighter in the later in the afternoons for that, because I think that would probably be easier for most folks if we could have that kind of right before this meeting. Bike plan update, I said we'll bring that when that's really ready to go. Pavement management plan update sometime this spring, early summer, bringing forward. Collection system repairs can really come at any time that we need items to fill the agenda.
Okay, so that's coming on future agenda items, and talking to the board here, when we have an idea, let's just bring it up and put it on there. So that's future agenda items, and seeing that no one's got anything to put on there, we're up for adjournment. Or, well, Jenny, would you like to?
So I just want to make sure I'm clear. I will be presenting the Main and San Jacinto intersection at the next meeting.
Yes, that's
okay.
Right.
Just want to make sure.
So next meetings, we're going to talk about your concern about that, and then Richard and South Bay, Rob and, or staff. I don't know if it's your turn next time, Rob, to come to the meeting. Well,
it's I'm kind of the default staff member that comes to these meetings, so you'll see me more often than anybody else.
Default doesn't have a negative connotation.
Oh, not at all.
We're glad to see you, Rob. Okay, and so we're on to adjournment. And so, seeing that no one else has any further comment, I move to adjourn this meeting of Public Works. Okay. And then I declare it adjourned. We'll see you next month, folks.
I might be going away this summer.
Okay.
I didn't know if you did that every summer or...